Okay. Welcome, Etienne Wenger.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. You insist that learning is fundamentally social. And you talk about learning as social practice and social learning. I'd like to explore with you this notion of social learning and social learning as social practice. Firstly, in what way is learning social? For instance, is group work social learning?
Well, no. I mean, the way in which we talk about learning as social is more fundamental than simply a group. So it's a social learning theory, not because it's a theory of social interactions, but because...
You say it's not a theory of social interactions.
It's not a theory of social interactions.
Yeah.
It's more fundamentally a theory that the way we come to know and make sense of the world is fundamentally a social process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that in fact the way we define what it means to be a good human being, a knowledgeable human being, and so on and so forth, is fundamentally a social process. And the notion of community of practice is the context, is a unit of analysis of the context in which that happens. So it's a social learning theory, but it's not a pedagogy. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could have some pedagogical implication of this social learning theory, but the pedagogical implications may or may not be to organize students in groups in a classroom. That's independent now.
So could you also organize more individual learning and call it social learning, learning as social practice?
Like you could send people to go visit a practice, right? They do this individually. But in doing that, they understand, if they are an engineering student, and they go and they visit engineers discussing a problem.
Mm-hmm.
They do this individually.
Yeah.
But, or maybe they watch a movie of doctors opening somebody's heart.
What about just reading a book?
So, reading is a good example of people say, no, but this learning is not always social. Reading a book is a good example. You do this by yourself. Well, I mean, that book only has meaning to you because you are participating in a social system of information exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
So a book is very much a social artifact because the words that are used in that book are socially constituted. They're not, you don't own them, you know. You are borrowing them. The author is borrowing those words from different practices where they have a certain meaning. And it's because they have this meaning that the book is intelligible to you.
Mm-hmm. So is it like you say that even in a solitude, you would be part of a social system, a social community?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a hermit, say, I'm a hermit, right?
Okay.
My practice is I don't see anybody. But the concept of hermit is a socially constructed concept.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
To make sense of what you're doing, you are, I don't know, part of a religious organization or something like this, where there are some certain definition of how to be a good human being, and you engage in that practice, which is a socially constituted practice of being asocial. You see what I mean?
Mm. What about learning in the community of practice seems to be very much connected to the group activity or a social group.
No.
What about knowledge as something that you focus on as a learner?
Well,
is that social as well?
Okay, so now you bring the concept of knowledge, and I want to warn you right away that the concept of knowledge is not a technical term in the theory. So the theory does not really attempt to define what knowledge is in the abstract. Okay? The theory talks about certain communities that define certain forms of competence, and that have certain products. It happens that in our society today, what we consider knowledge is often the fruit of scientific communities that have applied a certain method to producing information that most people cannot produce in their own experience. That's a certain kind of knowledge that is now highly valued in our society because it has had a lot of very beneficial effects, right? But it's one kind of knowledge, you see? that is produced by a community, and they may be competing forms of knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the, in the, in the US right now, we have competition between people who say the universe is 15 billion years old, and some people say the universe is 6,000 years old because they look at the Bible and the number of generations. These two communities are competing for who knows how old the universe is. I have personally happened to choose to follow the scientific community because from what I know about how they go about producing that knowledge, I trust them more than that other community.
Yeah.
But you see what I mean? That community would not call this knowledge. So what I'm saying is that the reason why our theory has refrained from defining knowledge in the abstract is because what ends up counting as knowledge is very much a social process of negotiating within communities and across communities.
Okay.
What about,
for instance, if you had taken an example of a professional education where you have become certified as a professional and the assessment of, of a student's competence.
Mm-hmm.
What about assessment?
Well, then you have to... Assessment, in general, is completely part of every community.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because since a community has defined a certain gradient of competence from beginners to master, if you will, or something like this, then there is a constant assessment of how good you are, does this count as competence, and so on and so forth, which is inherent in the very notion of community of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you're talking about is a different kind of assessment. It's an assessment that is institutionalized and that has to travel. See what I mean? So you want to engage with students in your school, and the assessment that you produce has to go to the employer and say, this person is employable here because they've been assessed in that way there. See what I mean? So that's a very different process of assessment you're talking about, and one whose form is very much dictated by the fact that it has to travel across practices.
Yeah.
Okay. This is why, for instance, in many schools, people like a grade.
Yeah.
You see? Because if you have a 9, it's always higher than an 8, no matter in which practice you go. You see what I mean? So it's the good thing about numbers is that they travel from practice to practice with very constant interpretation framework. You see what I mean? So the schools that give grade to students, then it can be put into statistical table, and see what I mean? So I think that as schools we have to be somewhat humble about our assessment, is that we're assessing a certain kind of competence in a certain kind of context, and the universality of that assessment has to be questioned.
Yeah.
Not that it is bad, by the way. You know, I think it makes a lot of sense. But we have to understand that as institutions of learning, we're engaged in certain practices, and we are assessing the students on those practices. The degree to which then that can actually transfer to a context of, you know, work where they have to actually do things is we have to be humble about that. That's all I'm saying.
Thank you, Etienne.
Okay.